to Mizmar, we're in the middle of Mizmar Memvav. Maybe we'll finish today. Okay, page 420. Really go back a little bit possible before up to Pasuk Tes. Luchu chazu mifalos Hashem asher sam shamois baretz. Luchu, go out and witness the mifalos Hashem, the deeds, the actions of Hashem. Asher sam, he has set shamois baretz. The simple translation shamois means destruction. Shamois, look in the Mitsudos Tzion. Miloshoin Shemamoin. Shemamoin means desolation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's brought about in this world, he's brought about Churban in this world. Look at what Hashem has done. Hashem, when he wants, can put an end to this world. Pasuk Yud, can we talk over here about, let's assume now for the sake of simplicity, we're describing over here Mohammed's Goygu Magog. And Goygu Magog, there's going to be enormous Churban in this world, and we should not think that the Churban is happening by man. Mm-hmm. It is Hashem who is directing every single move. And these actions are bringing about setting churban in the world. Mashpis. Now this is a very powerful pasuk. Okay, this is how we started this mizma by highlighting this pasuk. One of the very powerful pasuk. Mashpis milchamois ad kitzei haaretz. This war is the end of wars. The war to end all wars. At least that's how the Radak. So every mefarish, you know, has his day in the sun, gets the limelight. Okay, you know, you learn some mefarishim. Okay, you know, you don't get excited. There are certain mefarishim, they really, and this is what the Malbim says. Look the Malbim over here, pasuk on page 421, pasuk yud mashbis milchamos ki beoisa hamilchama yosufu leolam yosufu will come to an end leolam forever kol hamilchamos. The war to end all wars. Okay, Keshes Yishaber. This time we mean it. Okay, I hope so.
Finish it off.
Yeah, we had a few of them already.
Yeah. Keshes, yeah.
I remember Milchemet Yom Kippur. Milchemet Yom Kippur in Israel. So they said, Hamilchama Ahona. This is what they called it.
That's what they said. The last.
Somebody didn't get the telegram.
Okay, Keshes Yishaber. Keshes means the weapon, the bow, will be broken. The Kitzetz Chanis, and the Chanis means the spear, will be broken. Agolois Yisrof, wagons will burn. Yiboesh. Three different. Over here, we're describing over here, it's very interesting. We're talking three different types of weapons. We're describing the weapon of the keshes, okay, the bow and arrow, missiles, and the chanis is the spear, which means a hand. It means like the sword. The spear means you're fighting, coming in contact, direct contact with the enemy. The keshes is from far. You shoot missiles, bows and arrows at a very, very great distance. You're a coward. You sit in Arizona in a bunker and you play with a joystick like a child on a little game with a joystick, and you're killing people in Afghanistan. I mean, think about it. It's just mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling. People up there, the United States military, is the fact. They show all the videos. They're sitting in a bunker in Arizona, underground somewhere in a room, and they have drones. They're controlling drones. They take off, they land, they refuel in Afghanistan. And when they decide, they press a button, they literally kill people. They see some Taliban, they see some terrorists. In Iran. So the Iran, the details are not so clear exactly what happened. They had remote control, the driver, car remote control with unbelievable. Can you imagine? So that's really the original form of killing from far is a bow and arrow. You sit where you are and you shoot a bow at a very far distance. And then there is when you come face to face. Okay. Then there is from far. Kitzei tzchanis is the chanis is the spear. The spear is like a sword. That's contact. Agolois Yisroif Boesh wagons. What are the modern day wagons? F-35. Okay, F-16 tanks. Yeah, tanks is just, you know, old-fashioned. Fly in the air. Okay? If a tank that flies is really is an airplane, is a fighter jet. Okay, all different types of wagons. Next, harpu uduuke nochel kim harpu. What does the word harpu mean? It means loosen up. Loosen. How does that apply to the context? Okay, we'll see in a few moments in the Mitzudah David. Let go. Sorry? He will not let go of you. Oh, lo yarpecha, Hashem, very good. Hashem will not loosen his grip on you. He will not loosen his grip. So over here means to let go of war. Harpu means the war is over. Harpu, let go of your weapons. Open up your hand, let go of your weapons. War is over. We've shattered the wagons, we've broken the bow and arrow, we have destroyed the spears. Now harpu. Let go. Let go.
His translation is desist.
Desist. Desist. Desist from war. Look at the Mitzvah. See David. Harpu. Me'ata. From here on in. Harpu yetcha mi le hachazik bamilchama. Let go of your hands from taking hold of war. No more war. Let go of fighting. Enough bloodshed. Next. Harpu udu anok yenoch yelokim. Know that I am you. I'm God. Orum bagoyim, orum ba'aretz. Orum means exalted. I'm exalted among the nation. I'm exalted among the earth. Orum means ani ram moshel b'chol agoyim, v'ani ram moshel b'chol ba'aretz. Litno l'mish sheyoshar be'inai. Hashem is exalted. I was speaking to a doctor yesterday, and doctor told me that the medicine, it's never been so bad, where the medical field has a total disregard for anything religious. Religious exemptions in this country are done. There's no, not only religious exemptions, there's no such thing as any religious exemption. For any reason whatsoever, the government can say, if they wish, that you are a threat to public health.
Well, are you speaking about the vaccines? No religious exemption for vaccines?
Yes. Okay, no religious exemptions. For anything, it's not only vaccines, for anything the medical field has created this momentum, and they've actually passed laws, they've gone so far, and it's an incredibly dangerous concept, and it is a statement that there is no God.
It's worse than, because they're telling doctors you can't practice medicine, we're going to tell you how to practice medicine.
That's also right. That's an ongoing thing. A doctor today, as the government has for the last 10, 15 years, you're a doctor today, you're just there to do one thing. You're only there to diagnose. A doctor no longer in this country is given a license to heal. We heal, the government, we sit on the top of an ivory palace, and we will decide that you diagnose what is the disease.
They don't trust your diagnosis. No,
that they don't have a choice.
No, and they say no, the diagnosis could be
something else.
Simpler, treat that first.
Once you write down what the diagnosis is, you have no permission to think out of the box. There is a protocol. Protocol. This is what the medicine is for this illness. A doctor can say, wait a minute, I have an idea. Maybe if we do this, then we can heal the person. No. That's not your job. Your job is to diagnose what is the disease. Once you diagnose it, we have people of our own who have made decisions that when this is the disease, this is the medicine, whether you like it or not. And if you prescribe anything that's out of the protocol, you lose your license. This is not the way medicine was for centuries. A doctor's purpose, v'rapo yirapei. Essentially, look, study this in the Torah. The Torah says, what does a doctor do? A doctor is there to heal. V'rapo yirapei. Today, doctors, you're not here to heal. Healing, we take care of that. We have decided how you're healed. You go to a doctor, they're going to figure out what's wrong with you. Write down on the chart, this is what's wrong with the person. Oh, that's what's wrong. Okay, we've already arranged with the pharmaceutical companies that any single person that has this disease, this is the medication, and they're going to get this amount of money. The doctor explained this to me yesterday. And he explained to me yesterday, you know, in Boston, there's some very prestigious schools very prestigious schools, and every year they have fellowships for infectious disease. This is the first year in the history where they could not fill the fellowships because no one wants to go into infectious disease because the students are aware, it's unbelievable how corrupt it is. And they have there's no, it's a horrible thing. Over here, Harpu, how we get into this? Because over here it says, Orum ba'goyim, Orum ba'oretz. Part of this attitude is, there's no God. It's a Melchemes Hashem. And we have a long way to go to get to this point over here in the Potsk, Melchemes Goygu Mog, where the nations of the world will acknowledge that Hashem is Orum, to acknowledge Hashem's existence. Hashem, over here it says, when thou will come, Harpu, let go of war. The first thing should be, if such a thing called acknowledgement of religion, I'm exalted among the nations, exalted among the earth. Part of Melchemes Goyg Umagog is the Hakara V'hoyo Hashem L'melech Al Kol Ha'aretz Bayoyim Ahu Yihya Hashem Echad Shmo Echad. We're far from that. Hashem Tzivakoy Simanu, Hashem Tzivakoy Simanu. So here we repeat the same passage again. You see this repetition. Hashem Tzivakoy Simanu, Hashem Tzivakoy Simanu, he is with us. Miskav Lanu Elokei Yaakov Sela. We learned yesterday, according to the Mitzudot, the word Sela is to be applied to the word Miskav Lanu. For how long will Hashem be a refuge for us? Just for a couple of days? For a couple of weeks? No. Hashem is a Miskav Lanu forever. The word Sela is going on miskav lanu. Elokei Yaakov is going back on really the beginning of the pasuk. Hashem is the Elokei Yaakov, Hashem Tzivakos, who is the Elokei Yaakov imanu. We learned yesterday, this pasuk you have to slice and dice. Hashem Tzivakos Elokei Yaakov imanu. Hashem Tzivakos, who is the Elokei Yaakov, he is with us. He is a miskav lanu sela. That's the way you have to read the pasuk according to the mitzudas. It's a very interesting exercise to take the entire mizmar and rewrite the pasuk. Rewrite the pasuk linear. And that itself is a perish on the pasuk. And well, you'll say, well, that's subject to the commentator. According to the Mitzudas Davi, they can take an exercise. They have a class, teach them Tillim, and you take each pasuk, and you tell them, based upon the Mitzudas Davi, I want everyone in the class to take the pasuk and rewrite the words according to in a linear form, and maybe if really want, you can add in some words in order to explain the pasuk. Hashem Tzivakos Elokei Yaakov. Hashem's name Tzivakos, the God of the hosts. Who is the Elokei Yaakov, the God of the Jewish people, Imanu, he is with us. Miskav Lanu, he is our stronghold, Sela forever. And then we learned yesterday in the Mitzudas, and because of this, that explains everything. That's why the Goyim, they know it, and that's why they go crazy. They have a meltdown. Now let's see the Mitzudas said on these few sukkah that we learned together.
Now it says Anochi Elokim.
The entire world.
Yeah, and then he says Hashem goes back to Hashem. Hashem Shu Tzvakot, who is Ishu Hama. Okay? Imanu is Gavlanu Elohim Elokei Yaakov Elokim.
Ishalanu. Even though Hashem, you're commenting a very profound idea that even though the pasuk does say that eventually v'hoy Hashem lemelech al kol aretz, but we are never going to lose our unique relationship with Him. That's a very important point because you may be misled right now until Mashiach comes. So we're the chosen nation, but when Mashiach will come, we're not going to be anything special because v'hoy Hashem lemelech al kol aretz kamash melon. No. Even though indeed Hashem lemelech al kol aretz, we will never lose our chosenness. Because at the end over here, Imanu. Hashem will always be Imanu. He's always going to be the Elokei Yaakov. Even though this pasuk says, on that day, it's going to be Orum ba'goyim, Orum ba'aretz, don't get scared. You're not going to lose your special relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Hashem Tzivakoy is Elokei Yaakov Imanu. he's ours. We still always maintain a front row seat. We get a front row seat.
But if you also, you can also fit into that, when it says Hashem, it's Midas Harachim. He's going to be Midas Harachim, even though he's Kiyan Noichi Elohim.
Excellent.
On those other nations.
Dr. Dove to the rescue. Dr. Dove strikes again. Okay, yes, yes. So you're saying that when it comes to the nations of the world, and Yimos HaMashiach is called Elohim. Elohim connotes Midas Hadin, connotes a certain distance, a distance of exaltedness. But for us, buddy, buddy, you can Hashem atayil imochem bigan Eden v'loy nizdazeh mimeni. V'hisalachti b'soichachem. We have a different relationship. He's our buddy, buddy. But it means of Hashem is Yud Kivavke Midas Harachamim. Very, very good. Even though there's a contrast between that, the relationship with the Goyim and the relationship with us. Now let's take a look over here. What it says over here in the Mitzvot. It's David, these last couple of psukim. Okay, let's see these last few psukim in the Mitzvot. It's David. Go back to page. Back to the previous page 419. Luchu ato now goig goig hamalach masher itecha. Care by side goig vehamalach masher itecha luchu uru goig and all the kings luchu goaru u mifalis Hashem masher yaseh shemama baaretz beov dan haumos asher olecha. The mitzudah stuff is learning that this pasuk is addressing goig goig umagoig and telling them you goig umagoig, go out and take a look what Hashem has done. Go see that Hashem has destroyed your army. Hashem has destroyed your all of the people that are loyal to you. See, they have been ba'avdan ha'umos asher olecha. Next page, page 421. Ad kitzei Hashem asher sam sha'mois baret. Hashem has brought. Yep. What did I do? I skipped over here. Mitzvah stavim luchu. Let's go back. On the pasuk test. Luchu ato now on page 419, Mitzudos David, Pasuk Test, Luchu, who is this Pasuk addressing according to the Mitzudos? Goigumogoik. Goigumogoik is trying to rally all of the nations of the world to wage war against the Jewish people. And these nations are going to be destroyed. And the general Goig Mogoig are going to be, it's going to be brought to their attention. By whom? By Hashem. Luchu ato now goig over hamalachim asher itucha goig and the kings with you luchu goaru mifalos Hashem, Hashem's deeds asher yaseh shemama baaretz, was brought desolation in this earth beovdan hu umos asher oleha. Hashem destroyed these nations. These nations are part of his team. You don't have any players left. You have a baseball game. You need 9 players. If all of your players are out sick, you can't play baseball. So you might as well call it quits. Asher, next, then we go to the next page 421. We continue in the Mitzudos David. Ad kitzei ha'aretz ki b'chol ha'olam lo yeh oid milchama. This is the war that will end all wars. Mashpis milchamos ad kitzei ha'aretz. Lo yeh ki b'chol ha'olam lo yeh oid milchama ki kulam yavdu l'melech ha'mashiach. Isn't that amazing? Can such a thing, can you imagine such a world? Can you imagine such a thing in our lifetime? To see such a thing, all these nations, the whole world is full of so much hate and strife and milchama, and everyone's gonna pledge loyalty to what l'melech ha'mashiach. Okay, keshes yishaber kilo yitztarchu oy l'chlei milchama. I mean, it's very bizarre. Think about it. You know, the World Health Organization, the WHO. If you pay attention to the news, it's amazing. They are demanding. And many countries want to give over, that every country in this world should hand over their sovereignty to them. To them. If they make a proclamation that there is some type of situation where there's some type of health issue, then every nation in the world has to obey their orders. And I'm not making this up.
No.
And in fact, the United States is very willing to do it. Biden is mamish.
This infection is spread worldwide very easily with just one
ear. No, but so they make the decision. This organization will make a decision what needs to be done. They are to be trusted. They are to be, and if they say you take this medication, if they say there should be lockdowns, they will decide what the entire world should
not
do. What? Not recommend.
Dictate. Yeah.
And there are countries, they tried, and I think the only reason why it didn't pass was because Africa or some third world country didn't want to give in. Otherwise, we would have been toast already. Like, what in the world is going on? A country can't decide on its own what they feel is the proper thing for them to do. Okay, why would a sovereign country want to?
You said most countries would agree.
Why would a sovereign country want to
give up the sovereignty?
I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
Money.
What? It doesn't make any.
Because under the central control, then where is it charged? Whatever country they exercise that control is delegated.
It doesn't. And in the economic side of the world, there's the World Economic Forum.
The same thing.
The whole world should relinquish their sovereignty to them.
Because they're smarter and superior beings.
I mean, these people have not been elected. The World Health Organization has not been elected by any person. And the World Economic Forum has not been elected. These are not people that have been appointed. Who are they to go tell a country, a sovereign country, what to do? It's a pillar, and yet all these countries, yeah. There is something that we are missing. But over here, we learn this mizmar. This already, you see, this in this mizmar, you see already such a concept. You do in this mizmar see in a positive way. Okay, Dr. Dove, you see in this mizmar a concept. We see this concept of globalism. You do see that over here. Look what the Mitzvah says, that when the Mashiach will come in a good sense, all the nations will submit their sovereignty to the Melech HaMashiach. Now that's of course, in B'Kedusha Uvitahara. We're dealing now with Tumah. We're dealing with the lowest of lowest Tumah that's going on in this world, where people that are mamish, they're finding a Melchemes Hashem using the tools of Mashiach. Mashiach is a globalist.
So if you're going to go that, why does New York have to see to what the president of the United States? We should govern ourselves.
Because New York, that's the Constitution. That's the guy you keep that.
So we're breaking up the world into countries and then into states and into cities.
Not really.
The state, New York's age, this country is. Well, there's a constitution. The way the country was established, there are certain rules and guidelines. There's nothing you can do about that. There's nothing you can.
The founding fathers.
This is a state, the country that was made by Asara Shikudim and Ashok. Yet, that's right. Well, they want to give them. They want to give every African American. They want to give them money. What's going on in this country? It's not to be believed. But. Listen, you'd be surprised. Rachel can tell you that the power of each state in this country is enormous. Enormous. The federal government has limited power.
Well, but they're at war with the power.
But this country has absolutely zero shibudim to another country. And other countries have no shibudim to us. Zero. So why in the world would a country, a sovereign person, want to give up their power? In this pasuk, it says they will. It says here, read the words again in the Mitzvot again.
Giving up their power.
Well, let's see. Look what it says in the Mitzvot. It says in the Mitzvot, "Akitzei aretz ki b'chol ha'olam lo ye'oid milchama." There will no longer be war. Ki kulam ye'avdu le'melech ha'mashiach. They will all serve the Melech ha'mashiach.
It's.
It says the word serve. It says here, Arkitsei Mashpis Milchamois Arkitsei Aretz. Arkitsei Aretz. No longer they're going to be worse. Okay, it's an interesting concept that the Melech HaMashiach, obviously with Kedusha and Tahara, will rule the whole world. And that means every sovereign state will submit. If we don't appreciate what this means, well, read the newspaper. Well, it depends which newspaper you want to read. They hide this from you. But if you read the news, today there is such a concept that is very...
Let me explain that. By giving your sovereignty over brought to a central globalist body, you're not accountable for anything, because any decisions made are from the central authority. So you stay in power, and but you're not accountable for any.
That's the alumnus.
That's what I think.
That's what the alumnus is.
That's what I think.
Okay, I thoroughly don't understand this. I'm obviously
because you're a rational person.
I hear what you're saying. Okay. A lot of this news, you don't even know about what's going on. You read the six, most of the country is controlled by the older population, who only sees the 6:30 news in the evening on cable, and they don't know what's really going on in the world. What's really going on in the world is a completely different reality than what is presented to the average person. And there is this incredible push today, as Michal, I'm not making Michal's. This week?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't see it yet. This is something, and the truth is, this concept is
apolitical.
No, end of days. Apocalyptic principle. Apocalyptic principle of Yemos HaMashiach, where there is such a concept of globalism. Central authority for the entire world. Ah, exactly.
And this Melech Mashiach is going to be apolitical and unbiased, following the rules of God.
No, not apolitical. Who says apolitical? Who said that?
We all following the rules of God.
Right. So that's politics. Yes, God is a politician. Yes. Why? Yes. Absolutely. Why? Adrabba. Hashem is the ultimate politician.
It's a total truth.
Because unfortunately the word politician in our dictionary means one thing, liar. Liar. That's what it means in our dictionary. But it used to be there's something geopolitics. There is Baruch Haba Tamari. Tamari, happy birthday. Happy birthday to Tamari. Okay, so we have here Kitzeretzki, B'chol Olam Lo Yeh, Oyn Luchama Ki Kulam Yavdu L'Makot. This is an idea. And everybody say, you have to go, you see the Ikvasa de Mashiach. Hashem is preparing us for Mashiach. Hashem, when I was a kid, whoever heard it, I never even fathomed such a principle of globalism. It didn't even go anywhere near my mind or anyone's mind. And today, it's in the news every day. Which news you're reading. And it's in the news in the most corrupt way possible. However, the principle
is here.
It's a real principle. It is a real principle. And this is the principle of Yemos HaMashiach. And almost in a way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you want to argue, Al Derech Dush, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is conditioning the world. Hashem is conditioning the world that there's a central authority over the entire world. Today, you hear in the news in two different forums, in the health field and in economics. You hear it every day, this idea of a reset, globalism, of digital currency. You hear about this every single day in the news. When we were kids, we ever heard of this? Who ever heard of this? The world ends after you pass Borough Park. That's where the world ends. There's nothing else past Borough Park. That's the end.
The idea comes from people, that is nonsense.
Right.
That's religion.
Yes. Yeah, but we have to appreciate that Kadosh Baruch Hu is conditioning the world. These people are really sick people. They're sick people. Who do they think they are? They're sick, wicked people. They're mamash bin loichem molchemes Hashem. But when we step back and look at it from the big picture, this, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing to this world, is conditioning the minds of humanity that there is a principle called globalism, and the day will come that the one that will step into this is the Melech HaMashiach.
That was a recognition of God.
Yes! when the world will now come to be makir God, they will already have been conditioned to that the whole world submits to a central authority. And who is that central authority? The Melech HaMashiach. This, we're witnessing, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is conditioning the minds of the people of this world to such a principle of globalism. Because the ultimate globalist is the Melech HaMashiach, B'Kedusha U'V'Tahara. These people today are mamish, you can't even have words to describe who they think they are. And they all have in common that they are kineged kol HaTorah kula, and they're not maminim in Hashem. And it's horrible when they have enormous power and they abuse the power, kineged Hashem. But the concept is a principle which is something very interesting to pay attention to.
In theory, globalism means that someone on top is making a decision that's good for everyone.
Right.
But it doesn't really work that way because there's always the haves and the have-nots. And
it works for only the people on the top. Right. Only the people on the top is it a benefit. It's an exploitation of this communism. The only people that have are the people in charge, and everyone else is dirt poor and they're miserable and they suffer. It's like global communism. That's what it really is. And only the people on top, they're the only ones that are nene. It's corrupt. Corrupt. Utter corruption. Okay, now let's go further. It's selfish. They're selfish. They have power. And people are naive. And they just go along like sheep. They go along like sheep. And they don't even realize what's even happening to them until it's too late. Okay, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Let's go further. Keshes, we have the Kesh Yishaber. We're on the second line on page 421. Keshes Yishaber. Hashem will break the bow. Ki lo yitzarchu od l'chlei melchama. They'll no longer, in this parallel, when it says in Yeshaya, Isaiah, that they will take the weapons and throw the weapons into the plowshares.
What do you say about 421?
The Mitzudos, the Pesukim that we have read, it parallels when it says in the Yishaya that in times of Mashiach they will take all the weapons and they will destroy them, they will throw them into the plowshares, v'chulu v'chulu. Keshes Yishaber, ki lo yitztorchu oy l'chlei melchama, agolois wagons, wasuyas l'tzrecha melchama, tanks. Okay, all the expensive tanks that cost millions of dollars apiece. Harpu, me'ata now, Harpu yetchem milhachzik b'mulchama, let go. Someone once told me, I got free advice. This person, he probably paid a psychologist, $1,000 to teach him this, and then he told it to me for free. He said, he's very, very tense. The psychologist told him, he told us to actually the same thing. Every day, take all your tension, concentrate and close your fists, and apply, channel all of your frustrations and your bad feelings, channel it into your clenched fists. Then close your eyes and open it. Release. That advice, it almost cost you that advice? $3,000. You go to a shrink. I just told it to you for free. Okay? And I actually tried it. It doesn't work. You have to channel your frustration into your fist, and then let go. Open your hands and let go. Harpu means do just that. The doctor got it from this pasuk. Harpu means open up your hands, let go. Enough of the nonsense. Let go. Harpu.
About an hour drive from Peshava to Yerushalayim. Free advice, just like yours. Free advice. How to deal with my mother. And at the end of the ride, after all these great ideas, he says, if you know she's a Holocaust survivor, he says, forget everything else. There is no answer.
I told people,
I'm really getting it.
What are you charging this? Are you there to catch
it? It works. Okay, you have to work on it. It doesn't work automatically. You have to meditate. Meditate. This person who told this to me, he's very big into meditation. He always tells me, got to meditate, download this app and that app. Okay, there are people that this appeals to. It works for them. Everyone, different strokes for different folks. Next. Okay, Rabbi Sai, please. Harpu means Meata Harpu Yetchim Melachzik Bamuchama Udu Ushanoch Yelukim, know that I am Hashem, Vehakol Shali, Uviyadi, everything belongs to me, Uviyadi, and it's in my possession. Litna Lemish Eretze, I can give the land, I can give Uviyadi Litna, to give what? I'm not sure what it means to give what, to give whatever Hashem wants to whoever I want. Orum Aniram Umoshal Bukhalagoyim. To give the land. Okay, but he doesn't say over here the word land. Okay, it means to give whatever Hashem wants to whoever. Orum Aniram Umoshal Bukhalagoyim. Vaniram Moshal Ba'aretz Litna Lemisha Yoshar. Oh, Yitaka says Moshal Ba'aretz. So he does say, like exactly, he's saying good, Menachem. He's referring over here to the earth. Lidna Lamisha Yosha Bainai, Pasuk Yibes Hashem Tzvakos, Ozi Hashem Imanu. Now over here, so he says something a little bit different. Hashem Tzvakos means not now. Back in the previous Pasuk, we had the same Pasuk before, we had Hashem Tzvakos, Pasuk Ches, the Mitsudois David, Lefisha Hashem Yihye. It's also the same thing in the future. It's the future. Oz. Okay, that's how he learns. Oz in the future, Yihye Hashem Imanu. Fine. Okay, here he does not say, and that's why the Goyim are behaving the way they behave. Okay, now that we have done the Mitzudas, let's go back and do the Rashis. Let's go back to the beginning of the Mizmah and do the Rashis. Let's see if we can how quickly we can do this. Memvav, page 414. We're going back to do the Mizmah again very quickly. Stronghold. Or a stronghold, a fortress, a place where you escape. When the world is coming to an end, you go into like a bunker. A bunker, it's a fortress. It's a place of safety. A place of safety, a safe room, where missiles cannot destroy it, where there are people, there's food, there is water, there is shelter, there is safety, clean, fresh air. It's a safety location that's fortified. No, I think it's a sin. Miskav Hashem, Miskav Lanu. He is a source. It's a refuge, a fortress. Let's go look back in the pasuk before we see exactly how it's translated there. Pasuk Ches. Let's see. Hashem Tzivagos Miskav. Hashem Hamoishal Pasakhas Hashem Tzvokasim Hashem Hamoishal Tzvokas Eila V'chel Hashem Agalim V'shuluch Hashem. Wait, where am I reading from? I'm reading from the wrong place. Miskav Inin Choyzek in the Mitzudois Tzion and Pasuk Ches Choyzek. Choyzek means strength. Hashem is our source of strength. Usually it's like if you want to refer to it as something physical, it means it's a fortress. Mm-hmm. It's a location, a building that has been fortified, and you have in there everything you can possibly need to survive danger. And if you want to, you interpret it more as a mashal, it means Hashem is our source of strength. When we connect to Hashem, we are safe, we are secure. Rav Kalman, one second. Rav Menachem is saying, yeah, what's Rav Kalman, one second. Well, this week, that's what they voted? A resolution that Israel should give all the nuclear weapons.
Yeah, 176-5.
176-5. With friends like this, who needs enemies?
Can I pay this for the guy, the second Jew, who said the only reason there's war in the Middle East is because Israel has a very strong army. If they didn't have a strong army, there would be no war.
There'd be a bloodbath, yeah. Yeah, there would be a bloodbath. If there was no army in the Middle East, there would be a bloodbath. The Middle East would look like Afghanistan and the Taliban. That's what it would look like.
Yeah.
I won't
play with them anymore.
A dime a dozen like this. The whole world is like this. And the Musa Haskins, we shouldn't be like this either. We should not be education. You know, it's very sad. You talk to some people from, you know, the more Haredi part of the world, and the ignorance of Jewish history is just baffling. And the importance of just knowing the facts, I know someone, he's a real Tzioini, and he deals primarily with Satma Hasidim. Very young Satma in construction. And I once said to him, how in the you and them, it's like mamish mikotza. So he says, it doesn't bother him. He says, they say a lot of crazy things. He says, it's just total ignorance. They are thoroughly, thoroughly ignorant. And because of that, that's why they have this mentality. It's ignorance. It's not because we disagree on any hashkafic issue. They're just ignorant. If you're talking to someone that's ignorant, hear what they want to hear. And the Musa has, we should not be like that. We have a duty to study history. It's a very important thing to know, history well, to appreciate the depth of history. They say from Rav Hutner, that Rav Hutner held, studying Jewish history is a fulfillment of Talmud Torah. Can you make a bracha, Asher? If you take out a book on Jewish history and make, can you make a bracha? Take out Josephus. Can you make a bracha, Asher? Kedushan v'mitzvahs v'sin l'asek b'divrei Torah. I don't think he meant that far, but it is a study of value and worthy to pursue, to understand the depth of Jewish history, and it's infinite. Okay, it's.
Itself is said on last week's parsha. This is the lesson by Yosher Yaakov Lubavitch. What was he teaching them? Ibu Yaakov was trying to, you know, make peace with everybody. The message was by Yosher Yaakov Lubavitch. You have to get used to being alone, because that will be the future. By Yosher Yaakov Lubavitch, you will always be alone.
You see, all the years you go to school, I've never heard the same speech many times in high school, in college, and you go here, take a lecture, you have to learn history. Why? Because they always say the same words. History repeats itself. And therefore, if you're not going to learn from your mistakes in the past, you're not going to know the future. I really want to say baloney, total baloney. Baloney is history does not repeat itself. It's different. However, you have to know history to understand what you're dealing with. They always say, you have to learn from the mistakes of the past, so not to make them again. History, I really, who am I to disagree with anyone, but I feel history doesn't repeat itself. History, it seems from a very abstract, general way, it seems like, oh, over here, Russia invaded Ukraine, Germany is coming into Poland, right? It's not the same. History does not repeat itself. However, if you don't study history, you will not understand anything. You will not have any understanding of cause and effect, of how the world works. It's not, you have to refine, there is incredible value in understanding where people are coming from. Remember the whole Rabashkin thing. The whole thing really, really bothered me to no end. This whole Rabashkin thing, the whole thing with Rabashkin. And then afterwards, I learned about the history of Chabad. I learned about the Chabad with their struggle of survival in Russia and how they were imprisoned, and how the Rebbe was in prison. And then it really hit me that I get it. I finally get it. The Chabad, they're mamish, they're living as if they're in Russia. The Chabad are Russians. They're really all Russians. And they saw in Rabashkin mamish, like a reincarnation of one of the previous Rebbes who was in prison. Whether it's right or wrong, that's none of my business. But when you don't know where they're coming from, you don't understand their background and the backdrop to a person's behavior, you're clueless. You're totally clueless. You have to have a depth of understanding of where you're coming from. And then you can appreciate events as they unfold, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mida Keneged Mida, or how it's another chapter in a long saga, and then you could have an appreciation of what's taking place, and then you can do the right thing or choose to do the wrong thing. but otherwise, you're lost. Yeah. You're totally lost. Okay, let's go.
By the way, this is the story of Maoz Tzu Yeshua Tzu. That song, if anybody would pay attention to the five sections of
Jewish history. Jewish history.
What happened and what will happen.
Rabbi Chol is a master in this. Rabbi Chol's 60 chapters on the Dalet Malchios. The Dalet Malchios is Jewish history. It's the Seder. It is a process. History and destiny.
Okay, what did you say before? On page 419, there is Nikotei Shas, two lines from the bottom. It's beautiful, it's so touching. Hashem Tzvakoti Maru Mizah Maru Mehatu Pselah.
Yeah, we did this. We did this yesterday. We did this yesterday. We studied yesterday. Yes. We'll read it again in your honor. Rabbi Yaakov bar Acha, Rabbi Yosi b'shem Rabbi Yochanan li'olam al yehei ha-pasuk hazeh zoz mitoich picha. This pasuk should never leave your mouth. Hashem tzivakos imanu miskav lanu lokei avzikov. So all the dimensions of what that means that we discussed yesterday. This is essential. In this mizmor itself, it's repeated twice. And it's throughout the Nusach HaTfilah. Okay, let's try to go through some of the Rashis very quickly. Rashi, go back to the beginning of the Mizmor, Mem Vav, page 414. Page 414.
Aleph.
Aleph, Al-Alamois. So we had a whole shiur on this, what this means. So Rashi says, Shem Shel Kli Shir B'Divrei Hayamim. A musical instrument. I challenge it. I highly doubt anyone can say today with certainty they know what this is. It could be this musical doesn't even exist anymore. It's extinct, but it's a certain type of musical instrument.
I got to report David's in the morning. All those musical instruments and all the still, we don't know what any of them
are. None of them. None of them. Not even one.
We know if they're wind instruments.
Even the harp, we don't know what kind of harp. If it is a harp, you said we don't
know. No, nothing.
L'chaira,
it's a string instrument. L'chaira, harp is a string instrument. Nimin. It says in the Gemara that the wind blew on the Neiman. The Neiman means strings, so it's a string instrument.
This is most probably also a string instrument.
I have no idea. Maybe we can say that no one knows. There are people that are specialists in this who have done enormous research and can narrow it down. There are people.
They speculate.
And every so often you'll find someone that's Michelanu that will publish an art school book with nice color pictures, and then all of a sudden it becomes legitimate, right? Becomes, as long as you have a Hebrew university on the cover, no, we don't trust this. When you just change the logo from Hebrew University to art school, all of a sudden now we know what it is. Okay? All right, but even those in Hebrew University seem to struggle to identify what exactly these musical instruments are. There are a lot of some that show these pictures. If you're into music, you're a connoisseur, you're a mumche in music, then maybe you'll have a much greater appreciation. You can come and explain, give a shiur what these are. Next, Pasuk Beis, Pasuk Gimel, page 416, just a few more minutes. Pasuk Gimel, B'chamir Haaretz, at the Pasuk, you will not be afraid when the earth is going to be in a state of Hamir. What does that mean? So we learned in the Mitzvah Stavit, which means when the world will be transformed from a state of tranquility to a state of chaos. Hamir means to exchange. It means to transform. Rashi says, Lo'osilovo bayoim shenemar ho'aretz kabeged tivle. The earth will wither like a garment. Bnei Korach Nes. Now Rashi right away states that we're dealing over here with Bnei Korach. Livnei Korach literally means the children of Korach who were swallowed in the ground. Bnei Korach Nes shenasaluchem shenivlu kol sevivoy sam v'hem amdu ba'avir. This sounds supernatural. that everything beneath them completely disappeared. It sounds like Harry Potter. Okay, Lahavdil. And anyone ever read Harry Potter? Okay, and what?
Suspended
the earth completely. What do you think she got it from? And the earth, everything in the earth completely disappears, and you're floating in the air. Call the earth was nivla, it withered, it turned into dust. Vehem amdu boavir v'amru li Yisrael b'ruach hakodesh dugma sanes hazeh. Now, there is not a more mystical medrash than this. I don't know what. They were standing, the earth disappeared from under their feet. They're floating in the air. There's no earth, there's nothing. And at that moment in time, they were inspired by Ruach HaKodesh not to focus on what's happening now, but to reveal a vision that when Mashiach will come, the exact same thing will happen. The earth will completely dissolve, and we will be floating in air. That's what it says. You have to have emunah in the words of the holy words of Rashi. Losalovo. Pasik dalit. Yechmenu. Now, how does that word mean? Behomir. So how is Rashi teaching the word homir? It's not so clear. The Mitzudas Dava did not want to translate. He made a decision. He says it comes to the word tamura, exchange. The world is peaceful. Everything is fine and good. The economy is thriving. And then, Rachmana Litzlan Loyaleinu, the next day you wake up, all of a sudden, the world's collapsing. The world, everyone's in chaos. There are long lines to get water, for gasoline. The lights don't work. People are starving. There's no, the whole economy collapses. The world has been transformed. The word Hamir means to change. V'lo yam gimirenu. V'mhamer yomir toy bira and ra b'toyv. Okay, so the word means to change. So that it seems it's to transform. It would appear that Rashi does not saying that. Rashi appears to say the word hamir. I don't know what the root etymology is. It means to wither, to decay. What does the Targum say? Targum and Pasuk says, Lo Yomir, Pasuk Gimel, Mitul, Hocheino, Lo Nitchal, Biidon, De Ish, Tal Chifu. He learns to transform. Chilupin. He learns it like what the Mitzudai says. When the world is going to be De Ish, Tal Chifu. Chalipin. Chalip means to change. De Ish, Tal Chalifu. Okay, so he's not learning this, he's not going to help us. But Rashi appears the way...
I would have an explanation for this. Lehamir l'shon mora. Lo nira lehamir aleph. Everybody else is afraid.
Yeah, but what is the exact translation of the word...
Mora.
No, that's near, that's afraid, that we know. The lo near means we'll not be afraid. The word nira comes from the word of yorei. Behamir... What does it mean? You're saying it also means to be afraid? Okay, you're saying interesting. You're saying that the word Bechamir also is the root of Yorei? We will not be afraid. Bechamir Aretz, when the earth is afraid. You're saying the word Bechamir also means to be afraid? We will not be afraid when the earth is afraid. Okay, but that's not what Rashi says. Rashi doesn't say that. Right. The Targum doesn't say that, and Rashi doesn't say that. The Targum says it means when the earth will be transformed. And Rashi doesn't say the word transformed. Rashi just used the word belia a few times. Ka'oretz, ka'beged, tivle. He learns the word beharmir means to decay. It's a completely different translation, which requires us to analyze its root and etymology and where this word comes from, when the world will decay. And he quotes a pasuk in Yeshaya that the time will come when the earth kabeget tivla, the earth will decay.
Nivla means to swallow up, no?
No, it doesn't say. No. You want to say to swallow? Ro bnei karach deish nas lochem shenivlu nivla to nivla to.
Tivla doesn't have an ayin.
Shenivlu, so you want to say Nevel means, Nevel means also means tzedekei. Novol tibol. Hashem Moshe, Yisrael said to Moshe, Novol tibol, you will wither away. Okay, it doesn't mean that still means to swallow, bola. Maybe it does. Beis laminayin, it's maybe it means the same thing. So you're saying good. Mark is saying maybe over here it doesn't really mean to wither. When Yisrael said to Moshe, Novol tibol, what does that mean? You're going to be swallowed up?
Right.
Oh, so you say it's going to happen to you like what happened to Karach? What will happen to Karach? You want to say that what Yisrael said to Moshe? I never thought of this. Yisrael says, Moshe, you know what's going to happen to you? What's going to happen is what's going to happen to Karach. Yisrael was foreshadowing Moshe. If you go down this path and you don't appoint, it makes a lot of sense. You're opening up a whole new idea. Mark, you see, you're opening up a whole new world over here. Yisro said to Moshe, Novol Tibol. I always thought that means you're going to wither away. You're going to get weak. You're going to tire. You're going to get ill. You're going to need to go to the doctor. It's not going to be good. Novol Tibol. Mark is saying, no, Novol means you're going to be swallowed up. Lashon of Beis Lama, Bola, to swallow. The earth is going to swallow you up. What do you mean swallow me up? Yisro says, Moshe, let me tell you a secret. I already have the Chumash. I already bought a pre-edition of our scrolls Chumash, and I know the whole story of the Jewish people. And I read there, there's going to be a Parashas Korach, where the earth's going to open up and swallow up Korach. Moshe, if you go down this path, the story's going to be different. The earth's going to swallow you up. Why? Because you have too much power. You have too much power. What was Korach's argument? Delegate. Isn't that exactly what Yisro said to Moshe? What's the chilik between Korach?
The first time I ever heard that, sort of a musr, you have too much power. Never heard it like that. You always hear it.
Oh, that's what I'm sorry. That's because of you. I'm only saying this because of you. What is the word Novol Tibol? Does Novol Tibol mean that you're going to get ill, you're going to get sick, you can't do this on yourself, or does it mean it was a challenge? Moshe, you can do it. You can handle it. You can handle the load, the workload, no problem for you. However, people don't like it when one person has too much power.
Right, what does Rabbi Sacks say? Great leader is the one who makes great leaders.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's a beautiful expression. That's a beautiful expression. He was incredible, Rabbi Sacks. I cannot believe he died. I cannot believe he died. It's shocking to me. And I cannot believe his funeral. I watched his funeral online. There was no one there. It was the middle of COVID. Middle of COVID. And Britain, they really, COVID by them is like, you know, it's the plague. It is. Not it was, it still is, Rahman al-Islam. And they like didn't have a levaya. They had like this very bizarre levaya. It's unbelievable. And he was a master. He was a master who left this world way before his time, and it's unbelievable. He says very a great leader is a leader. What were your words? A great leader is one who
makes
great leaders. That's a beautiful line. So here, think about Yisrael. You want to go tie to Novol Tibol mean to swallow. He's saying, you know, Moshe, you have too much power. Give away some of your power to other people, not because the workload is too much. It's because people don't like it. People don't want a leader to be too powerful. Delegate. And if you don't delegate, you know what's going to happen to you? What's going to happen to Korach? Because Korach, what was Korach's argument? Korach's argument was he wanted even more. He wanted to completely dissolve leadership, period. Kolam kulam kidoishim sechem Hashem. Everyone, we don't need leaders altogether. We don't need leaders. Everyone's a leader. Everyone, we love everyone the same. And what happened to Korach? What happened to him? He was swallowed up by the ground. So here it's the other way around. There's a similarity. You're opening up a whole idea in the world of Drush, Mark. I really like what you're saying. And it ties in over here. When it means over here, the word Shenivlu calls me for some. What exactly does the word Bechamir mean? Does it mean to swallow? Does it mean to decay? Does it mean in exchange? Whatever it means, and this medrash is really where Rashi is citing something really spooky, that when Mashiach will come, the earth when Mashiach will come, it's going to be a repeat. He's even making this concept, it's going to be a repeat of what happened at the time of Korach. Think about it, take that to the nth degree. What he's saying is that in the time of Korach, what was the problem which triggered the whole Maisa of Korach? A challenge to authority. And is he saying that the times, the trigger that's going to bring Mashiach is going to be when the world is going to challenge authority? Is there going to be such a situation where wicked people are coming to go challenge the authority of the Melech HaMashiach? And that's going to result in the earth completely dissolving, and only the tzaddikim are going to remain hovering and floating in the then it talks about the Oretz HaChadosha. Okay, this is spooky stuff, but we have to stop over here because we're out of time.